Good evening, Baltimore, and hello, America. Welcome to the Relationship Experience. I'm your host, Changa Bell. This is Radio for Your Life. Here on the Relationship Experience, aka RE Radio, we have interruptive conversations to wake up our minds to health, happiness, love, and just conversations to bring up awareness. We'll discuss both trending and not so trending topics to shift the most important relationship of all, the one with yourself. So as always, it's truly an honor to get to kick it with you this evening. And of course, you, the listener, are always encouraged to join in the dialogue, the conversation at 410-319-8888, or just simply sit back and enjoy. You can also follow us on Facebook Live, and you can tweet live at Changa Bell. Follow up with this and any questions or comments to all of our conversations by emailing later at soulspot@changabell.com, or you can send a direct message. So let's get into it. So we have these podcasts that we also do. Before I get into it, I was getting excited. You can find those on weaa.org and also on iTunes. I'm excited about that. So wherever you are in the world, you can look up the Relationship Experience and you'll just catch it. Some coming up events at my Sunlight and Yoga studio. We have an adult wellness party. They'll be coming in May and in June. So check us out there. More info there is at sunlightandyoga.com. In addition, starting May the 7th, that's the first Sunday in May, my organization, the Black Male Yoga Initiative, will also be hosting free outdoor yoga at both Druid Hill Park and Lake Montebello. So be sure to check for updates at www.bmyi.org. And I'll also make announcements here on the show. But today, we've been anxiously awaiting, you know, actually, in truth, about 2 months. I don't know how far in advance we booked her, but I know for me, I've been waiting for about 2 months. She needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. There aren't many houses that I go in that have at least one of her books. I know I have three. I probably need more. She'll scold me on that in a little bit. She's a pioneer in the green foods movement. She's the best-selling author of 6 books, which include she's the creator of the Heal Thyself product line. She's CEO of Queen Afua Wellness Center and holistic healer to the stars, such as Erica Badu. She's joining us by phone from New York. We welcome a friend of Baltimore City, Queen Afua.
Yes, thank you so much for such a royal introduction.
Yeah, give thanks, Queen. No, I mean it. We'll get into probably later in the segment where I talk about how Man Heal Thyself helped get me on the right track. But, you know, when I met you a few weeks ago in person at the Natural Hair Expo, it was just a pleasure to meet you and have your energy around me. I wish I could have had you in studio today. But I just want to jump right in because I know people are going to call. They're going to want to call. I put out promotions on social media and everyone was like, I'm going to be listening to the show. So I'm real excited to expose our listeners to your knowledge. So you devoted your life to fighting, high rates of hysterectomies, fibroids, hypertension, just disease that are in people that are common, especially in our culture and community. But when they come up in conversation, I'm not sure that everybody knows Queen Afua and her origins. So what is your origin story is what I like to call it. For all superheroes, they have an origin story. Could you put it in the context of how you became to be?
All right. Well, it started in 1969. And I remember the music. The music was Farrah Sanders, The Creator Has a Master Plan.
Mm.
I was, at that time, I was not a vegetarian. I was a typical fast food, dead food meat eater. But I used to go past this place that would play this music, and it had the dashikis and the Calvary shells and Malcolm X picture and Angela Davis, and it's the 60s, and I was waking up. We were waking up then. Waking up to culture, waking up to language, our cultural language, waking up to dance, African dance, waking up to study about our history. Also, vegetarianism was on the scene, and yoga practice came on the scene, and meditation,
mm-hmm.
while fighting against the war, while getting proud of our blackness, of our melanin. All that was happening. James Brown sung it, and we began to be it, and it was at that time that I made that crossover from a dead life into a live life.
Mm.
And I was invited to go on a healing retreat And on that healing retreat, I was sick. I came there sick. I came with the intentions of getting well. I didn't know how. A friend of mine told me about this healing retreat weeks ago. Never went anything like it. No one around me but that one person I knew who even knew anything about a way out of this state of disease. I was on medication for my asthma, my allergies, my hay fever, my PMS. I had arthritis. I had a lot of things going on. I was sick from the time I was 7 to the time I was, you know, that age, 16. Mm. I went on this retreat in 3 days. My whole life changed. And within not even 24 hours, I heard the voice. You know, I had the calling. I heard the voice. Was I come up? I came off that bus, the trees, the grass, hay fever time. Mm-hmm. If you're toxic. And so the asthma kicked in, the allergies kicked in. I'm scratching, I'm wheezing. I'm in a panic. I didn't have my medication with me. And I heard then a voice. You know, when you're desperate, you really need to hear, you tune in. And I was told my first formulation, lemons, grapefruits, and oranges. And I drink some rosehip warm tea. And I drink water all throughout that day. And I heard this man talking about the power in the plants and the medicine and the herbs. And his name is Dr. Johnny Moore. He's now an ancestor. And I was so like, whoa. And he was talking about one testimony after the next. And it really woke me up. But I still was sick, and I was still wheezing. Mm-hmm. And that night, I was fasting a whole day. I didn't even know I was fasting. But I sat up in front of a fireplace because I couldn't lay down because my lungs would have collapsed. The fire was coming to my lungs from the heat of the fireplace. I was on water and tea and citrus foods all day. That next morning, I woke up. I had my first detox. I didn't know I was detoxing. I didn't know there was a word for what I was going through. But I woke up, and this mucus started coming out of my nose, my mouth, my eyes. An hour later, the asthma completely stopped, the wheezing, the skin eruption. My skin went back to its normal state. The reds of my eyes, the white came back. My mind that was in, like, total helter-skelter, it went into a calm state of mind. My emotions calmed down. It was like after a tornado or a hurricane happened.
Wow.
And then everything gets still, and the sun comes up. That's how it felt. And that whole day, all of a sudden, I heard everybody that day, that next day. And everything I heard about at that retreat, I'm about that now. And I've been about that since. And so they were talking about vegetarian lifestyle as a way to heal. They were talking about colon health. I became a colon therapist. They're talking about herbs and working with the plants. They were talking about meditation and breathing and yoga practice, everything that I do now as a way of life. I got it when I was 16. It was an awakening. When I came back home, I was an instant vegetarian. I went cold turkey. I came up all dead foods, all dead thoughts, everything. I had a little boyfriend. I let him go because he was toxic. You know, right. Everything changed. And from that point, I began to study. I began to live it deeper, and I began to heal everything. It took me 3 21-day cycles to purge myself of all the sickness that I had been carrying since a very young child. And from that point on, I could not help but tell every single one of my people who would listen at all that they don't have to suffer. They don't have to be sick, that there's a way out and that there's a way through. And that is what I'm sharing to this day. That's 46 years in, and I'm still on my path of healing myself.
Wow. Now, you made a distinction that it was vegetarian and not vegan, or have you evolved to vegan?
Came in just maybe 10 years ago.
Right.
It was a new term. It was the lacto-ovo-vegetarian, and then it was a vegetarian. So the lacto-ovo-vegetarian was the one who had eggs and milk and cheese, but they did not eat beef and pork and goat and lamb and chicken and fish.
Right. So you were able to do all of that detoxing and give it all that music and sort of these bronchial issues, but still have cheese occasionally, or how was that?
No, I wasn't a lacto-ovo-vegetarian. I didn't do that.
Okay. So
I became what's called then a vegetarian.
Right, I
see. Now, what they call a vegan is really the same thing. It's just the latest and the greatest.
Right.
So I had all vegetable foods. And so now I'm like 90% of live foods, and I may steam something on occasions. And I don't eat nuts, you know, because, you know, although that's vegetarians do that. I do more avocados, I have sprouts. And then I have the vegetables because vegetables have protein in it, so... That's how I live my life, but everyone's not going to live the way that I'm living. So I have the four levels. I teach people how to do flexitarian and make a transition from eating the worst and it's most toxic to the lighter, and then they can go into vegetarian. Then they can go into live food eating, and they incorporate the juice therapy into it. And so that's how I help the masses as opposed to them trying to do what I'm doing. So, you know, we're all at different levels, and I meet you where you are. So that's really how I started out. I had to clean, I had to detox. I had to clean myself up and take on this lifestyle, and then that's what I did and continue to do.
Yeah, there are two things I want to unpack a bit from that statement, which is interesting. One, I want our listeners, and I want to be clear myself on what exactly is live food. And then, two, when you experience helping others detox, are their experiences similar to yours? Because I know I've read The Mucusless Diet by Dr. Arnold Errett, and he describes a similar thing where he just ate about one, you know, he was fixing himself, healing himself, and then about, he ate about 3 pounds of grapes one day and nothing else. He was on his fast, and it caused him to vomit all of this mucus, and at that point, he had cured himself of Bright's disease. So while it sounds pleasurable to get rid of the disease and the disorder, it also sounds a bit scary. So that's the second part of the question. Just is it something that people have to sort of go through as part of their detox? And then the first part was just getting clear on what live foods are.
Mm-hmm. Well, live foods are foods that are cooked by the sun, not cooked by man or woman. We're not using a stove, not using a fire, but the fire of the sunlight. And so that's the highest, that's one of the highest forms of eating is food cooked by the Most High. And so with that, taking that in, then it's in harmony with your elements, your air, fire, water, and earth. Mm-hmm. When you cook it, you kill it. The minute you put the artificial heat to it, you kill the nutrition, you kill the vitamins. So you're taking in food substance, and it fills you up. And so you feel full, but your body's not being really nourished.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for you to heal, your body has to actually have nourishment. And so taking it in a live level, then everything that you're taking in is going to now repair and detoxify your system.
So is that so your kale salad would never be sort of steamed. You're basically promulgating that the best method for us to do is to take things live out of the ground, so to speak, or from a farmer's market, maybe, and do you add a little bit of oil to it? Is it recommended to put like yeast?
Yes, olive oil. Mm-hmm. You use the oil. You use the polyunsaturated fats. You use the avocados, which is protein and mm-hmm. the natural oils that lubricate the joints and the muscles. You're able to use your herbs, your seasonings, your sage, your cumin, your dill, your garlic, your cayenne, your ginger. So it's the seasonings is what you're talking about, and the oil, the olive oil, the avocado oil. You use that in your foods, and you let it marinate,
mm-hmm.
and you let it marinate a half an hour, an hour. So that's food preparation. I wrote a book called The City of Wellness.
Yes.
Restoring Your Health to the Seven Kitchens of Consciousness. So in there, I put 200 recipes in it, and I broke this up into seven different kinds of kitchens. So wherever one is, I meet you where you are, and then we just grow you. So I have what's called the Soul Food, International Soul Food Kitchen, which I've taken the recipes from all the different tribes, clans. I have the Southern Soul Food and then converted into vegetarian. I have the Nigerian Soul Food, the Caribbean Soul Foods, the Spanish Soul Foods. And I've taken those foods and I just took out the cooking with the oils. I took out the sugar. I took out the excess salt. I took out the fries. Through looking for more organic. And so by doctoring up those recipes, the family still can have. What separates the family from eating vegetarian, vegan, really is they want the same aroma that they're used to. They want the same taste, the texture, the visual. If you can prepare a meal that you can keep that all together, but then you don't have the fat that's clogging up the arteries, and you don't have the sugar that eats up the nervous system in the brain, the bones.
Right.
And then you don't put the meat in, but you put a flavor of sage in it or cumin in it to give you that meaty flavor. Then you can actually keep your family eating. They can now move into a healthier way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, they're going to separate from you. And then when the holidays come and family gatherings come, you're going to feel the isolation. And they're not going to come to their wellness. So I created that kitchen as the first kitchen. And then I went to the second kitchen, was the manifestation kitchen, which is your lunchtime. Lunchtime is when you actually are at your highest point of production, of bringing forth concepts, materializing them. But what we do is we shut our lights out after lunch. We have this heavy lunch, and now we can't function. And then we're looking at the clock every hour. When is it going to be over? So, but by having whole foods at lunchtime, then you're able to maintain your energy throughout the day. And then when your energy starts to wane around 4 or 5 o'clock, you have done the most massive level of work and productivity during those hours when you're able, which is like 11 up until 3 or 4 o'clock. So that's the manifestation because you manifest. The Sun Food Kitchen is what I just mentioned, which is all uncooked live foods. Everything is cooked by the sun. And so your fruits and your vegetables and your sprouts and even your grains, all of that, none of that is touched by the fire. So all the life is still in the food, so all the minerals there. So everything you're eating is feeding you and nourishing you throughout the day. Then you have the Emerald Green Kitchen. And I connected the kitchen to the chakras. The East Africans call them Ari, the wheels of power.
Right.
So each body group is now building up through that, each spirit body group. The Emerald Kitchen, for example, represents the heart. And to have 2 or 3 days of just green foods, you know, that will help to rejuvenate the heart, make your heart stronger. Also, it creates more forgiveness and compassion and mercy for yourself and for your relationships, the more greens that you take in. And it boosts up your immune system or protects you from STDs or attracting relationships that are violent and abusive. Then you have in the fastest kitchen, and that goes up to the throat. And that is the seat of creativity, what you speak, you create. And so by fasting and going into a liquid lifestyle, even if it's 24 hours once a week or Friday to Sunday once a month, the body is made up of 75% liquid and 25% mass. And so if we can get ourselves into 25% liquefying, we will break down that poison and it will begin to flush out. And then I have what's called the Healer's Kitchen. When you get to the Healer's Kitchen, you've started healing your family. And so I've invited some healers to come in that kitchen. Dr. Africa came and he gave his recipe and his philosophy based on the Healer's Kitchen, and some other healers joined me in the Healer's Kitchen. And the Fire and Liberation Kitchen, where you take all your wellness and all your knowledge and you set up a soup kitchen, a holistic soup kitchen, where I spoke to my granddaughter, she's 11 years old, and she's talking about the holistic soup kitchen. She didn't read the book, but she just knows that there has to be one. We're just talking back and forth about, we just went past the soup kitchen, and we're saying, well, she said, well, there's people in that soup kitchen, that, you know, it's good that they're getting help, but they're eating all the dead foods. I said, well, you know what they're eating? They're eating the love. That someone cared enough to give them something to eat.
Right.
So if we begin to put some whole foods in there, then we can get rid of that arthritis that they're suffering from and that high blood pressure, that hypertension, that diabetes. That's taking it to another level.
So that's
the seventh kitchen of consciousness. Those are all the kitchens in that book.
So I want to bring up a good point that is never too late and it's always reversible. If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Relationship Experience on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We're on the phone with Queen Afua from New York. She is the author of several healing holistic books, and we're going to get into another one of her books. But let me get back to that question before we went and broke down the seven healing kitchens. And I hope that our listeners and our social media folks were taking copious notes, because I know I was, and that's you brought up the one book that I don't have that I'm going to get, Queen of Four. I'm going to get it right after the show. Is the detoxing, does it show up in everyone that way? Should we be looking for, you know, this expectorant of mucus to come out of us at some point, or are there other ways that that people heal in your experience when you're working with folks when they finally get to that level of getting a majority of that toxicity out of them?
Well, what happens if, you know, you don't have to go through all of that. There's 25 things that can happen, at least, when you start to detox. But it doesn't have to be extreme.
Mm-hmm.
If someone says, okay, I'm sick, I have all these issues, and they jump into a fast, and they're eating meat and flesh and microwaving and fast food, and then they go right into a therapeutic fast of juicing and water and tea, they're going to have a lot of changes. First of all, they're going to get constipated because they're already constipated. So their colons are going to shut down because the body's going in a state of rest in order to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that constipation then backs up into the bloodstream in the butt, and then you start to feel tired or weak. Then the mucus starts draining out, comes out through the nose, about it starts coming out rapid. So rather than jump all the way to the top, you go from maybe flexitarian for 21 days, I'd say 12 weeks. Give yourself a 12-week journey a season. This is a powerful time to do a detox. The weather warm, the warmer the weather, greater the healing with as much ease as possible. So you go through 21 days of flexitarian, if that's where you are, then 21 days of vegan lifestyle, then 21 days of live foods or uncooked foods, or even 7-7-7, and then through a 7 or 21-day total therapeutic juice fast. And with that, then you're not going to have such a chronic rush of waste passing out from every organ in the body. Otherwise, you can have boils coming out from under the arms. You'll have a vaginal discharge, may come out in some clumps at one time. Mucus will drain out the nose. Some will cover some of the eyes, so you may not be able to see as clear for a few days because there's so much waste in the back of the brain. And then your ears may get clogged up because the waste is now traveling around the face and the back of the neck, coming out of the ears. And you may throw up and get nauseous, get headaches. Headaches is pretty common. But if you do it systematically, methodically, step by step, then you don't have to go through all of those changes. And then you have to then incorporate works to make sure that all your systems based on the elements are functioning optimally by doing some additional work. The bathing, you need to take at least 2 or 3 baths and soak the weeks of the waste can come out through your skin microscopically. You need to take some okra to flush out your colon or some flaxseed to begin to clean out the colon. Most people start a fast and they're already constipated. Your colon should be regulated before you begin to do a fast or a heavy detox. So you have to make sure that you're having 3 meals and then 3 bowel movements. And with that, then the waste doesn't have to come upstream. It goes downstream. It goes out through the colon and you're able to eliminate pounds of waste in a matter of a few days. And so that waste, if you don't eliminate it out, it's going to come back into the blood, and that's when we throw up, we get nauseous, right. We get a sty on our eyes.
Now, Queen, I can't tell you how many, as a yoga studio owner and teacher, I'm usually surrounded by women. It's not a lot of men. I have the Black Male Yoga Initiative that I founded just to try to get more men to come in. But I can't tell you how many women confide in me that they don't have regular bowel movements, that they go to the bathroom every 3-4 days. I would imagine that not only contributes to bad blood health, but mental health as well, right? Can you speak on how important it is to eliminate?
Well, the colon corresponds with the whole body. From the ascending colon on the right side, you touch the right side, everyone listening, and that affects the brain. That affects the memory. If there's impaction, if there's gas, if there's worms, if there's parasites, the ascending colon is going to affect your mental well-being. It's going to affect your memory. It's going to affect as you mature that you're going to have Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's. So that waste, if it's been there for months or years, that's got to flush out. Once you start flushing that out, then the mind becomes very strong. Mm-hmm. But actually the mind becomes cleaner. You have to now rejuvenate the brain, but you have to clean out that ascending colon to get that waste out. And that's also mental waste. When people are thinking violent thoughts, it's flesh that's trapped in that ascending colon. Mm. It's dairy that's trapped in that ascending. When you think of hurting your family, hurting yourself, suicidal thoughts, it's a lot of poison and flesh that is still trapped in that ascending colon. So that's one thing has to happen. And so you can do the different ways of juicing, of drinking more water, of using the flaxseed, of using the okra to flush out. And that will start to restore the mind. So that's a cleansing of the brain on that side. But then you have to rejuvenate the brain so that the mind becomes sharp, it becomes clear, you start to become more creative, you start to problem solve. All that happens by rejuvenating the brain now. And by doing the repairing, the detoxing, and the de-cleansing, then you have a whole brain. Your brain starts to really repair itself fully.
Well, I want to use that as a good segue to overcoming an angry vagina, the journey to womb wellness. It's often said that if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. And so you so poignantly point out that if a woman is not well, her relationships are also not well. So we wanted to encourage our listeners that want deeper insight into health of their reproductive system, also their relationships. What do we need to know about caring for our reproductive system, and not just in the sense of, I know that it's big with yoni eggs right now and vaginal steaming. Those are those superficial, or do you recommend those along with sort of the inside out way that you approach holistic healing?
Right. Well, those are more techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the 25 rejuvenation techniques in my book, and I've mentioned the yoni egg in the book, Sacred Woman, 17 years ago. So that's to help to strengthen the uterine muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But then the practice of yoga, you know, and studying yoga. Yoga is an African way of rejuvenating your system.
Say it again. Yes. I say that all the time, so I'm just saying, say it again. It's an African comedic system that was older than the Patanjali system, but I was just amening. Sorry, Aquin, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, we're one. Another way of Ariyanka, bringing the soul to life through movement.
Yes.
And so through the movement, I mean, just doing your inversions alone, whether it be shoulder stands, headstands, resting your legs above a few pillows, all of that helps to bring the energy back into the uterus. But I look at it as three womb centers. So the womb, the vaginal steaming, I have a steamer for the whole body. So I never looked at it just as a vaginal steamer.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you can do that. But also, if you're steaming, you have to sweat up the brain, the mind. I have a prayer that says, awaken the womb of my mind. For what I birth, I create. It's really the thoughts. Birth and create as a womb center. Awaken the womb of my heart. So awaken the womb of my mind. Awaken the womb of my heart. For what I feel, I birth, I create. And then we have awaken the womb of our seat of creation. For what we think and what we feel, we birth through our seat of creation. And through that, through our cleansing and our purging and our steaming and our sweat lodges and our hot baths and our yoga practice and our vegetarian vegan lifestyle and our fasting and our bathing and that whole life, working with air, fire, water, earth, you begin to heal your body systems. I developed a form of yoga practice. I'm a yogini from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And because I work with a lot of women, I developed a system called a Bhum Ka'at, womb yoga dance. And it's 108 poses. Now, everyone's not going to do 108 poses, so you'll pull out some of those poses specific for what you're working to restore the uterus, to bring oxygen back into her, but not just the physical part of her, but the emotional part, because we're eating our relationships. We're consuming our relationships, and they show up in the womb. The womb has the conversation. And her conversation, when she sits and expresses pain back to us, or when women are bleeding heavy, they're losing their life force, and they're having relationships, intimate relationships, with relationships that are not giving, but relationships that are pulling. But before you got to that relationship, you were yourself. And the relationship that you attracted was who you are. And so you attracted yourself to yourself to magnify what you're really feeling inside.
Right.
So it's not really the relationships outside of you that is the issue. The relationship is the relationship you're having with yourself. As you begin to heal the heart and the mind and the physical simultaneously, you will begin to raise your vibration, your frequency to a higher level that will attract healthier and more wholesome relationships that support and love you. And with that, then you're not pointing the finger outside, this one did that, because then you're a victim. You say, no, the power to heal my life, my womb, my heart, my consciousness is within me, within my reach, and everything I need is inside. And I say, it's not outside that is your medicine is within.
Right.
And so that's the journey.
So when we come back, we're going to deal with some other stuff. And I want to ask on the opposite side of this break, I'll just prep you with the question now, talking about if detox is necessary for healing and behavior modification. So we'll get that on the back end of this break. If you're listening in, you're listening to Changa Bell on The Relationship Experience. This is Radio for Your Life here on your source for cool jazz and more on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Welcome back to the Relationship Experience. I'm your host, Changa Bell, and we are joined by Queen of Four from New York, a holistic healer, a mom. Just, you know, she's everything. She is what this earth needs. We went out to Erykah Badu. We were going to come back into her with her music. So, Queen, I know you sort of started Erykah, I believe, is the backstory on her path. Not necessarily in Pan-Africanism, but definitely in a holistic healing area. Would you care to speak on that for a second?
Well, yes. Actually, I met her in Brooklyn through my son, Supernova Slump, hip-hop medicine man. Mm-hmm. He was performing. She came to the performance. It was a cipher, a poetry cipher, maybe 60 young people were there, and I was there in support. And they connected. And he came home. He said, this is before anyone knew her on that level. When she first came to New York, and she had moved in our community in Bed-Stuy. And so we met her that night, and she said she wanted to come by and sit with me and get a reading. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll see her at the center. Lovely. And she said, no, she wanted to come by the house. I said, she's going to come by the house. I said, okay. So, she came by. And I said, okay, it's going to be a 30 minutes. I'm going to 30 minutes with her, an hour's consultation. And then end up going hours, right? Mm-hmm. Hours. One question came after the next question. And we bonded and we were talking. And then they said, you know, I'm giving her a pair of pajamas from my daughter's room and a candle. And it just came, and she just stayed with us. It was a year she stayed with our family consistently, and we did some things together, and we had a lot of family gatherings. And when she was just singing on and on, I was playing my zither. And so when she finally, when she had her grand opening in New York, she got herself a zither, and I gave her the Persian Ruin Gear, and I gave her pendulum and her medicine bag. She started to gather her medicine, and you know, that's how it went. But she was already a vegan, you know, what you call a vegan, mm-hmm. already, and she had that consciousness. So it was like a great match.
Oh, so it was a match made in heaven. Yeah, because I think that's great. I think her and Andre 3000 both, help bring that to young folks in a different way. So I was definitely appreciative of
wonderful.
Of that. But so I wanted, I know I asked about just if detox was necessary for behavior modification, but we'll move on for that for a second, because I want to get a little personal. My crack cocaine is sugar. So I'm a sugar addict. I'm a flexible vegan in that I bless my meat sometimes before I eat it and deem it vegan. So I have I'll break down like every 6 or 7 months. But other than that, I'm like 80% vegan.
Okay.
And I'll occasionally hit some cheese. But sugar is something that I can't seem to crack. What are some ways for those people to share my addiction? Mm-hmm. Is it only cold turkey, or is it something that can stave off that?
Cold turkey will have you go back to with a vengeance.
Yeah.
It's better that you systematically clean out the blood. Just admit, okay, I have an addiction. I want to give this up, and I can't. You know when you have an addiction when you can't stop it, and it just comes and you got to have it.
Right.
And you just check what are you going through at the time that you just must have it. Because you're looking for something kind, something sweet, something loving. That's what the sugar is representing on one hand. But, you know, you can Google it. Sugar is a few molecules away from crack and cocaine. So it's a legal drug, and everybody's on it. Mm-hmm. And it's laced. Everything is laced with sugar. They put sugar in canned food. They put sugar in vegan foods. Sugar's everywhere. And sugar eats away at the brain over time. You're young, so you can't feel it yet. It eats away at the brain. It eats away at the nervous system. It adds to our stress level. It eats away at the bones and the joints. So by the time you're 40, 45 years old, your knees are giving out on you, or your shoulders are starting to go through pain, or your back is starting to hurt. And it's the sugar from 10, 20, 30, 40 years of sugar ingestions. The average person ingests, when I add it up, you add up, okay, you have sugar 3 times a week, and you're in your 30s. So you've had about 10,000 ingestions of sugar over your life. 10,000 attacks. It's an internal war going on. How much time before your skeletal structure breaks down? Mm-hmm. How much time, how much sugar before the brain breaks down? Because it's an inorganic substance, it lingers, it stays in, it compounds itself in the body, and over time it breaks down. And when a crisis comes, the sugar shows up heavily, and then you might crumble, or you might not have answers because your mind is not as clear and sharp. So you want to get off that sugar as soon as possible. I have a formula that will help break that addiction in 21 days, and that's the Master Herbal Formula. So I would say rather than get the book, City of Wells, you have to choose, get 3 bottles of Master Herbal. And in 3 weeks, you won't have the sugar addiction. I have somebody who came, and he came with me not even a month, it's been like 12 days. He went from a pack of cigarettes down to 2 cigarettes within 7 days. Now he's on to 1 cigarette. So in other words, instead of trying to force the body to stop it, you've got to clean out the blood. All addictions are in the blood. If you thoroughly cleanse out the blood, you clean out the craving, the addiction.
And so is that what I saw you dropping in people's mouths at the expo? I saw you.
No, that was another formula. That's from the 21-day kid. That's for the lungs. If those are suffering from asthma, allergies, hay fever, indigestion, gas, because most people are congested. If you're eating white rice, white bread, white pasta, if you're eating late at night, if you're eating microwave foods, you have congestion in your sinus, in your lungs, in your brain, in your ears. So what the breath of life is, eucalyptus and peppermint, what it does is it helps to decongest holistically and naturally.
Now how?
And if you dare take lime juice with it or cider vinegar or lemon with it and warm water, then you double the detox.
Okay. And how often should we be doing, on the bottles of a lot of the tinctures or the herbal formulas, they say, suggested 2 to 3 drops or 15 drops 2 to 3 times a day. How often are you recommending? Are you recommending that people, follow the description on the bottle, or you have it differently?
You have to have a plan to really effectively break the cycle. So if you say, I'm just going to take it, well, if you're also consuming the things, you have to break that cycle. So I put together a 21-day detox kit to actually address everything at one time. So if you don't eat that for a minute, but then you go back to it after you feel better. So if your goal is to just to get better, then you get better as temporary relief. But if your goal is to eliminate the issue and be done with it, then it's going to be a lifestyle shift. So if the lifestyle shift, then you're taking the formulations for a period of time to resolve the issue. And so I have slated, you can get a lot done if you're in your 20s, early 30s. 21 days could be like 42 days, somebody near 50s and 60s. To fully detox your system, go through 1 month at least, taking the 13 herbs. Those 13 herbs go into all the body's systems and draws the poisons out. It cleanses the liver of that addiction, the kidneys, the gallbladder, the spleen, the digestive system. It helps to purge that out. At the same time of detoxing, and you're taking that 3 to 4 cups a day for 21 days or 12 weeks, depending on how long you've been on the addiction. And every 21 days, 50 to 60% of levels of poison is leaving your system. If you don't go all the way, then you're never going to get rid of the issue. Mm-hmm. You have to go full gamut. Otherwise, it will always be there. And then the other side of it is you detox, you also have to rejuvenate simultaneously so that you're not weakened and you don't feel tired from detoxing. And so I give the green light formula to repair your brain, your tissues, your cells, your muscles, your lymphatic system, your nervous system, your endocrine system. So that's with the green light. Then you've got to clean out the colon because we have pockets of 5-10 pounds of waste in our colons, and that backs up into our bloodstream, poisoning our blood. You got to work on all your systems simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Then you work with the lungs and the sinus, the respiratory system, with the breath of life. So the mucus is coming out of the lungs, out of the ears, out of the head, out of the eyes, out of the nose. That's drainage is happening. Then you're building up the muscle and the skeletal structure, and you're packing the body with the clay, or you're also drinking the clay. So the formulations work on all your systems simultaneously that I put together. It works on the skeletal system repairing, the muscular system, the endocrine system, the nervous system, the cardiovascular system, the immune system, the respiratory, the digestive system, the reproductive wellness. So all the systems work in a concert. If you hear a concert and one instrument is out of alignment, it destroys the whole sound.
Right.
If one system is not looked at or covered or taken care of, you're going to find yourself as a domino effect. You're going to go back to the old habits over time, and you just don't break the cycle of disease.
Now, I mentioned earlier another personal connection, so Man, Heal Thyself. I read that whole book when I started taking baths. I didn't take a bath Since that time, you know, prior to that, probably since I was in my teens, but when I started reading Man, Heal Thyself, and you were suggesting to get in a tub, I would read it every day, and I finished the book in only 2 days, so I was mad because I needed to develop that habit a little bit more. But I still take baths because of that book, and I appreciate the archetypes in which you broke down in there. So you have one that resonated with me because I have six children, is a family man represents unity. Unity represents harmony, and harmony creates abundance. For one to be a family man, he must establish an inner state of unity. As a man unifies his inner self, his family reflects his inner harmony. So what inspired you to speak to men also? So you did all of this work for women, and we covered some of that in the first half of the show. What inspired you to start to inspire men to care about their bodies and their whole well-being?
Well, actually, the men requested that of me. And every book that I've written, it wasn't that I did it on my own. The people, you know, they asked me to write teaching. So from Heal Thyself, so many asked me to, you know, write my story and to give me the form. I would be on the radio, and I said, okay, do this for that and that for that. Pablo said, could you just please write it down in some form so that people can actually keep up with what you're saying and begin to put it in some type of order? Because they would call him up and say, what did she say? And so that's how Heal Thyself came. Sacred Woman came because I was teaching the women how to heal themselves, and I was teaching class, and a brother asked me, who published Heal Thyself, he said, could you make that into a book form? I said, no, I don't have to. I'm teaching a class. He said, no, we need it in a book form. So after, over time, I said, okay, I'm going to write it down. It took 7 years. Now, when I got to Man Heal Thyself, the men were getting annoyed because they would say, okay, you wrote Sacred Woman, then you wrote the Overcoming book for the women. Could you say something to us specifically? Well, I said, well, City of Wellness is for the family, co-ed. Heal Thyself is for the family. They would not receive that. So I just, they commanded that I needed to write. And because I wrote it in the sense of, in a layer of the land as a rite of passage, I didn't feel it was my place to really do that. But as a healer, it is my place. So I went from that place. And I looked at the 22 body members, and I said, these are the works that you do to bring those body members together. And these are the states of man that I saw that need to happen for men to begin to restore themselves. And so the prayer, then I started to study deeper the first written text of spirituality from our ancient ancestors from the Nile Valley. And then I was able to, over 2 years, gather this prayer and gather and start to look at those five wounded men. Because I've always worked with men throughout the years because I work with families. And then sometimes a wife would come and sit down with me, and I would tell him the things he has to do. I work with fathers. I work with men throughout the years, so I know what was going on. And so I looked at these men. I looked at these five wounded men, and I said, okay. I looked at the common man. I looked at the negative alpha man. I looked at the angry old man. I looked at the sexually addicted man. I looked at the broken man who's on drugs and alcohol and dead substance. And I said, okay. He needs to meet with his wellness warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wellness warrior came out the kitchen. My sons were saying, Ma, you need to write this book because you work with the young people in that just come to the house, and you work with us, and you've been working with men. So you go ahead. So one of the things they said, Ma, we're going to have to teach them how to be wellness warriors. I said, okay, because I trained them to be wellness warriors. I said, you're going to cleanse. You're going to heal no matter what. You want to raise your frequency. You want to protect it. I sent them out to war. I said, if your frequency is not up, you're going to get taken out on this planet. You got to receive things before they even happen. You got to know. You know, so I give them all this talk all these years. So they looked at me as raising wellness warriors in them.
Right.
So
right.
Ali Amici, Supernova Slam, then their circle of young men. And so from that, I said, okay. And then I started to analyze. I said, okay, these 22, that 22 number, that's a master number.
Mm-hmm.
Double master number. I said, okay, these men have to master their health in order to be whole husbands, in order to be whole fathers, and go back, and even if they're not with their children, go back and fetch their children
mm-hmm.
and harmonize with the mothers so that they can help to raise their own children, because we have broken homes and broken families with broken people, and we can mend. But in order to mend a relationship, you have to mend yourself, because that is the primary relationship. All your relationships are an extension of your own consciousness, your own self-reflection, your own transformation. So if I can get the men to begin to think of themselves as power healers and begin to work with healing juggernauts, you would be considered a healing juggernaut.
Yes.
I think about the healing juggernauts. These are the men that have weathered the storm. These are the ones that help to uplift other men and show them through their footprints in the sand how to walk, how to stand, how to be, how to think, how to overcome. So I identified 12 of those men that I've known throughout the years, and I've asked those men to come with me. And this rites of passage, it begins the first week of May, and I open it up. I lay the ground foundation. The men come in, and they share from their perspective. So that first man that you mentioned, Ellis Idell, he's a multimillionaire man, and he has several businesses. And so I wanted him to be that family man of wealth and unity as a start, because he can impart that because he has knowledge. And men have to have prosperity to be able to take care of themselves and their family and start their own businesses. So each of the men that I asked to come in, there'll be other men in the future, but this is the opening of the way. And so another one comes in. He's a healer now from Detroit, and that's Dr. Jesse Brown. And he sees in his clinic, he sees 1,000 men and women every single month. And so he has a practice, and he has a staff. He has a large team. So he can help to heal the men. And so I take all the body parts of the man, and I bring them all together into this body of work, Man, Heal Thyself. Mm-hmm. And then I bring the men who have expertise in various works to then add to the work of the men. This has not been done before.
Yes.
The very first time. You know, and so it's taken 6 years to finally get to this place. But we're here now. So.
And I do have a question from social media. If you're just listening in, you're tuned into the Relationship Experience on WEAA 88.9 FM, your source for cool jazz and more. I'm your host, Changa Bell. You're on with Queen Afua. The question I got online is similar to what I was thinking of asking anyway, because you were talking about working with men and getting them to take care of themselves. But society, at least for African-American men, it's always this stigma of not taking care of their own, the stigma of these fatherless households. And it's a whole bunch of pressure to take care of others. And if you are, like a man like myself, taking care of the household, then there's this expectation to then take care of others in the community. So I found myself not necessarily taking the best care of myself because I was out taking care of so many people. So how do you deal with that stigma when working with the men, you know, sort of retraining their brains that if they're not around, they can't take care of the community? Do you find a lot of resistance? And you know, what are some of the ways you deal with that? And then I do have a caller, so I want to get him to be able to come on, but I'll let you answer that question briefly first.
Yeah, well, there is resistance. That's why it's taken 6 years.
Yes.
The minute that the book Sacred Women came out, the women ran to the healing.
Mm-hmm.
The minute the book of Overcoming came, the women, they ran to the healing. Women, by their very nature, are very connected. Just a prayer that was given to women gives us this. And this is a prayer from my ancestors. It says, I am the woman who lightens the darkness. I've come to lighten the darkness. It is lightened. I am there for those who weep. I've overcome the destroyers. I am there for those who weep, who hide their faces, who sunk down. They looked upon me then. I am a woman. I am a healer. So we are taught that in that text, that's who we are. The female principle is the nurturer. The man has both a masculine and feminine principle in him, just as the woman has a masculine and feminine principle in her. The feminine principle of the man is to self-nurture, to take care of himself, to fortify himself. So that is not cultivated. The masculine, the patriarchal side of the man is what is cultivated. So it's like meeting another part of yourself, like, I'm going to go take a bath. Really? Oh, my gosh. But in ancient Kemet, there was a bath that would be a city block.
Right.
A New York City block is a bath. And that bath had a symbol of Kepra. If you round your arms out in a circle, the Kepra was on a stand. And that he was, and Kepra, which represents transformation, faced this healing water. And in the water there was salt. And close to this bath there was these oils that would come out, and then you'd be anointed with the oils and you'd be wrapped in white linen. That's our culture.
Mm-hmm.
So when we don't take care of ourselves, we moved away from our culture. To take care of yourself, holistic medicine is huge now. It's a $1 trillion business.
Right.
Everything is holistic. When I start to research Sacred Woman, everything is holistic. It's African natural lifestyle.
Right.
It's our culture.
Indigenous.
So if we don't heal, that means we're not following our cultural practice. That's why we're the sickest people. besides 400 years of chattel slavery, the Willie Lynch. So we have to get back to the nurturing, using the elements to come into harmony with ourselves. And so from Reiki, that's African natural lifestyle, to massage therapy, that's reflexology or African natural lifestyle, mm-hmm. vegetarian lifestyle, African natural lifestyle, healing baths, self-massage, herbology, all that is our culture. When we embrace our culture as man and woman of melanized beings, then we are no longer sick people.
Yes.
So as long as we don't embrace our cultural heritage, then we're going to suffer the diabetes and the high blood pressure, the prostate cancer. That's from a lack of knowledge, a lack of connectivity to nature, to the elements, to our natural way of living.
So Queen Ifu, I have a caller on the line that I hope has a question for you, or maybe they have a question for me. Brother Khalif from Baltimore, you're on The Relationship Experience with Queen Ifu and Changa Bell.
I am, first of all, humbled and honored, Brother Changa, to be on your program. Absolutely, again, amazing program of bringing enlightenment to not only African black folk, but all folk who are in the quest of searching to enlighten. And Queen Afua, if I could be before you, I would straight up bow down. You have been a light of light and wisdom in my life, and two sisters who have been significant to my life for years. And I truly thank you for your diligent she warrior energy of bringing enlightenment to our people.
Thank you, Colin.
What I wanted to ask you all is that to explain the importance for us as African black men globally, because the struggle of African black men globally, of getting in tune with our emotions and our feelings, and not viewing that connecting to our emotions and feelings as something that is weak, particularly for African black men here in the United States, where any sort of saying that I love you isn't considered derogatory and stereotypically and negatively effeminate. But just for us as black men to be able to express love, compassion, empathy, even pain, shedding of tears as a part of the journey of evolving our manhood in a healthy manner. Could either one of you, if you agree, talk about that, the need for us as African black men to view connecting with our feelings as a positive and something that's healthy, and not as something that is weak and destructive or demeaning to us as men.
Sure, Brother Khalif, thank you so much for that call. And I beg to say that you, especially with that voice, you just did it. You just expressed in that question, you know, the fact that it is okay. And Queen Ifua, if you do want to add a comment or two to that, that's fine, because we have about a minute and a half, so I want to keep it brief, because I want to be sure to let our listeners know how they can reach you and where they can get your books and everything. So if you want to respond to Brother Khalif's question, go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, my brother, because your tone itself, you toned up everybody who heard your voice.
Yes.
And you went right into the heart center.
Yes.
And a whole nation is based on the principle of Ma'at. That's where we get the 42 laws of Ma'at. And the Ma'at principle is a scale, and it's all about the heart. On the scale, one side is the heart, the other side is the feather. It lets us know that we're not weak because our hearts are light. We're most empowered because the feather represents balance, truth, reciprocity, and harmony. But the body member of that is the heart. So it is the heart of man that must come into balance. And when the heart of man comes into balance, it's self-love, self-care, self-upliftment, all of the upliftment of the healing and the cleansing and the forgiveness that it takes, then he becomes whole. And when he becomes whole, then he attracts wholeness in relationships to himself, because all of his relationships that he had that may have been wounded, may have been harmful, is because his heart was not in balance. So things did happen on the external level when he starts to do his own self-forgiveness. And the man healed by himself, he's going to go through a 12-week journey of healing his heart, of healing his thoughts, of healing his relationships, going back to his mother and his father and forgiving them and communicating with them and for sharing what he's gone through as opposed to burying it. Our men are dying early because of broken hearts. And many times you ask, what did he pass away from? Had a heart attack.
Right.
Heart attack is just physical. Heart attack is metaphysical. Heart attack is emotional. Mm. Heart attack is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't get a chance to cry out, to speak out, to talk, to be in circles of other men communicating, that he's going to burst. His heart's going to burst. And that is what's happening to our men. And so as a women, we keep growing through everything. We're 60 years old and 70 years old, and there's no one in that. There's no men there at that point. There's very few men there. And it's always the young men, 20 and 30 years old. So if we want to, women, we're asking the women also to galvanize and support our men. And when women start to heal, you, in humbleness, you start to share the healing with him. So he will start to forgive his mother and his grandmother and the women in his life, and his heart will begin to be restored. So it's going to take a community effort to help to lift our men up and lift their hearts up. And when they cry, that's the river of tears that heal. It takes a very powerful man to cry,
yes,
to let go of his burden and begin to purify himself through his own healing waters, releasing out of his body. Because if those waters stay in his body becomes toxic, and it becomes impure, and then it shows up in various forms of disease, starting with heart attacks and strokes.
Yes, yes. So we are going to have all the information on Queen of Four at therelationshiftexperience.com, or you can go to reradioshow.com. But you can learn more about her at www.queenoffua.com, and that's Queen and then AFUA.com. In addition to the popular Sacred Woman's Rites Passage, Queen of Four also has the Queen of Four Wellness Center, and they're holding a Man Heal Thyself Rites of Passage. You heard her allude to that during our time together today. Those orientation calls are held every Sunday at 11 a.m., I believe. Is that correct, Queen of Four?
11 o'clock a.m.
Yeah, that's correct. So I want to give a big thank you, a big air hug over the airwaves for joining us. Please come back and see us again.
All right. Then can I just give the phone number before I walk
away?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, it's 888-344-4325. And you can speak to my staff, my team, and we'll get you into the Queen of Four Wellness University. Thank you so much for having me, you and your queen. I appreciate your work that you're doing to uplift us, and thank you for making me a part of it.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. So we'll get to you on the other end of this month for sure. So thanks for joining in and listening in on the conversation this evening. I want to thank co-executive producer Devonna Bell, producer Iori Odigizuwa, board operator Andre Melton, production assistants Wyman Jones and Ali Post, and show intern Janelle Ferguson. And of course, none of this would be possible without you, the invaluable listeners. You've been listening to The Relationship Experience, RE Radio. This is radio for your life. Remember, you've got to fall down before you get up. So don't be afraid to learn from your mistakes and failures. Just keep rising to the light. Don't fight. Just keep rising till you feel the warmth of the sun. See you next time. Same place, same vibe.